It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know I'm screwed. Two proposals in one night, none of them welcome. My prospects of escaping unscathed are slim to none at this point. Option number one, fall in line with my father's wishes, yet again. Option number two, get in bed with his enemy, literally and figuratively. My heart begins to race. He did say it would be in name only. But what does that really mean? I don't really know. The saying, better the devil you know, rings through my head. But as much as that is the case in most circumstances, in mine, it's the opposite. Anything is better than doing what my father wishes. The man hates me. All my life, he has gone above and beyond to hurt me. Why would this be any different? I might not know Mateo, but I know my father. If I allow myself to be his victim again, he will never take his claws out of me. If I marry Salvatore as he demands, I will never get out from under his thumb. But the option of saying no to Mateo is also out of my grasp. Is that really true? There is always another route. I'm a ping pong ball, bouncing back and forth. Better yet, my life is a tennis match. Eventually, someone would get the point, but no matter who it is, I'm the one getting hit by the racket. If I had a choice, I would escape. Thinking of my options is not something I want to do because it feels like I'm stuck in quicksand trying to break free, but can't. No, this is different because I get to choose. Regardless of what Mateo or my father insists, the ball is in my court. I can smile and pretend to appease this man, not fight him, and then do the opposite. Or I can say yes and mean it. I stare at him for a minute, realizing Mateo might very well be the first person to offer me a chance to get out from under my father's thumb. A part of me wonders if it's all an act and if he will actually help me. Normally, I would think no, but something in his stare says otherwise. As strange as it sounds, I feel like I can trust him.
Why are you in my apartment? Her voice cracks, giving away the fear that she is trying to conceal. She holds herself tall, but there is no mistaking the way she sounds. And if that isn't enough, her eyes keep looking back at the door. She's nervous, but she tries to hide it. It makes me want to toy with her. But I'm also aware she is a corrupt politician's daughter through and through, when she's not completely falling over her own feet with shock. Another woman would have cried and fainted long ago. I lean forward in the chair I'm sitting in and place the gun I'm holding on my knee. Come closer, I won't bite. She does the opposite, as I say, and instead she takes a step back, edging toward her escape. It won't do her any good. Even if she makes it into the hall, my men are standing outside waiting for her. Either way, the outcome will be the same. Why are you here? She repeats. There is a false bravado in her voice, and it makes my lips tip up into a smile. I like the way she pretends she's not terrified. I find something intoxicating about a strong woman who shows no fear. Regardless of what she portrays, I know the truth, and I will exploit it. I allow her to move another step, but this time I shake my head while tisking. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I lift my hand, displaying the gun that rests upon my lap. Her eyes go wide. She looks like a deer caught in headlights. There is no mistaking the fear and shock that crosses her face. Sit. This time I leave no room for objection, and much to my pleasure, she obliges me. Slowly she crosses into the room, and then she takes a seat. If I was one to laugh, I would, because she picks the farthest chair in the room from me to finally sit. Not that it will help her. If I wanted to harm her, it wouldn't matter the distance between us. I would find a way. Viviana Marino, I draw out. It's a pleasure to meet you.